All right, now that we've gotten all of my silliness out of the way for about 3 minutes, we'll be in good shape. Janice and I were talking this morning. It's really a joy to be with you guys, just on such a consistent basis. To be in one church, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks in a row is really a big deal for us. And it is a thrill for me to be able to present a long series like this. Series on the Word of God has been. I hope that you guys have enjoyed and maybe learned a little bit, or at least been refreshed in some of the things that you believe and some of the direction. Next week, I will be beginning a new series, and we're going to talk about the body of Christ. And I think that you'll find it, fascinating. God's really put this together for us, and a lot of people misunderstand what that really means, or they kind of woo, you know, kind of give an ethereal kind of thought pattern to it, and it's really not. It is a reality for us today, and how we should operate, and how that God has put us together. And so I hope that you'll be with us as we begin that series next week, and that you'll invite all the people that usually sit in the seats out here. I used to get really upset at, you know, missing people and that kind of thing. And when I went to pastor in Vail, we went in July, I think it was, we started there, and then we pastored on through, and we were running about, 60 to 70, maybe 80 people, which was good at that period of time. And on Easter Sunday, man, I mean, the house was packed. We probably had about, 150, 200 people. And of course, I thought, man, this is great. Next Sunday, there were 4 of us. My wife and 2 kids. We left and went over and got ice cream. There was nobody in town. Once the ski mountain shut down, it was like the last one out of town, turn out the lights. So I learned to be a little more humble, Gary, at that point. The Word of God, this that we call the Word of God, and let me reiterate, it is. It's a good place for a spontaneous, thank you. That was almost spontaneous, even though I had to ask for it. This that we call the Word of God, that we depend on for guidance, for direction, for answers in life, that we love to read, that reminds us of the children of Israel as they were wandering across the desert, and God fed them on His manna. Amen. They were hungry, just like we are hungry every morning for the Word of God. We want to be fed. We don't want just a snack. We want God to come and feed us. Feed us deeply with His Word. This morning, like to just do a very quick review. I'm not going to spend much time. When I sent my sermon notes into Matt, I even said, I'm not even going to bother with the first three, so start with number four. But I am going to hit the first three. But I'm going to do it just as the titles. The first one was creation is the unique work of God. And you remember at that time we talked about the word bara. And then the second one was the Word of God is the only basis for faith. See how good he is? I told him not to even bother with it, and there it is. And then the third week that we worked on things with the Word of God was the Word and the Light and the Only Begotten are one and the same. That was pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And then last week we talked about, and I'm gonna read the scripture here for just a few minutes because I want it to lead us into today's discussion. The Word of God protects. The Word of God protects. You remember last week I had Larry come up and give his testimony on the man that memorized books of the Bible and how he was able to do that. How many of you have kind of a, I don't want to put you on the spot and I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to think within yourself, how many of you have a renewed thought of memorizing Scripture and how important that it really is? How many of you have begun a little bit to do that? I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I'm not going to ask you to raise one hand or two hands or anything like that. But I want us to understand that the Word of God is that which protects us. You'll remember that when we talked about this last week, you'll remember that the sword is the Word, and it is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. Isn't that cool? And then you'll remember that we read about the devil taking Jesus into the wilderness. And we read three temptations as was what we have written for us in the scripture. But we also know that it says that the devil tempted him in every way. Just as you and I are. But the example is that Jesus warded off all temptation by the Word of God. Just like you and I. Just like you and I. Today, I want to give the last and the fifth in this series, which is pretty amazing because I started out this series going, I don't know how long this is going to last. But so we're going to be finished with this today. And today's lesson is the Word of God gives direction. The Word of God gives direction. Now I'm going to jump all the way back to Genesis. It is important for us to recognize always who we really are, and what God really did for all of mankind. I was doing some coaching with a pastor this last week, which is part of my responsibility, and visiting with him for about 2 hours. And we were talking about the word eternal. And this word eternal has tremendous significance to it. We think about eternal as being from this point on, or even more incorrectly, from death on. But the reality is, if we are in Christ Jesus, He exists outside of our temporal format. And because He always has been, because He is now, because He always will be, the word eternal for us, where it says that He will give us eternal life, that word extends back as far as it extends forward. Before, and I've said this to you before, before He ever said, "Let there be light," He knew your name. Wow! Genesis 1, I said all that just to give you guys a chance to look it up in the index, find out where Genesis was, and get over there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 through 30. And God said to them, talking to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." And God also said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This food will be for you, for all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, for every creature that crawls on the earth, everything having the breath of life in it. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God began, as soon as Adam and Eve were created, God began giving them direction for life. This is not a new deal. Amen? It is the norm for spirituality with the triune God. God desires to give us direction for our lives. Our desire is that we need to be willing to listen. Right after God created man and woman, He gave them direction and instruction. And it went on in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. "And the Lord commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day that you eat from it, you shall surely,'" say with me, "die." Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9. "Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid themselves from the Lord among the trees of the garden. So God called out to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' I think all of us know that story. But I wonder sometimes if we, as I did, read across one of the most important things for us today in Christian living. And what it says is, they heard the footsteps of God. They had walked with God enough that they knew His footsteps. Wow. Just that, friends, is an incredible, powerful thought pattern for us today. Do you know Jesus? Do you know God in such a way that you can hear Him moving into your life to give you direction? Wow. Is it important? You bet. You bet. God is the same God back then, this time frame, and forever. Is it important to listen to His direction? I wonder the first guilt feelings had to be when they heard those footsteps. The first ever. Have you ever felt guilt feelings? Or you're going, oh no. And the enemy plays on those. Amen? And then you hear the Savior calling, come and go with me. And let's take a walk. I need to visit with you. And what happened in this case was that God said, Adam and Eve, I told you, I spoke to you, both of you. You understood that when you ate fruit from my tree, that you would surely die. You took somebody else's word that you wouldn't. You believed somebody else that you wouldn't. But I'm telling you right now, walking in the garden with you, I have no choice. And the Bible goes on to say in the third chapter that Adam and Eve left the garden. They were banned forever. Mankind has been banned forever. Now, if I'm an agnostic, or if I'm a beginning reader of the Scriptures, in the first three chapters, I've got to say, I probably find a great dichotomy there. Because God said, in the day that you eat from my tree, you will surely... When they ate from the tree, God kicked them out of the garden. In our minds, they walked out alive. But they were not alive to God anymore. And that's the difference. When God created man, He created us a triune being. Body, spirit, that He breathed into us, and soul, which is your intellect and your volition. When man walked out of the garden, he walked out physically and, if you'll allow this term, soulically. And that's how we have lived for thousands of years. Physically and soulically. Because that spirit which was united with God is that which died on the day that man walked out of the garden. Romans chapter 5, if you want to go there and read that. Not right now, this afternoon. The Spirit of God was very active throughout the Old Testament. Amen? But what we saw in the Old Testament was that the Spirit of God would come upon mankind. And when man, for a specific purpose at a specific time, like a King Saul. And then when King Saul decided he was more important in making decisions than God was, then the Spirit of God left King Saul. And he was active from that standpoint that he would come upon mankind for a need, but he never again indwelt mankind for eternity until Jesus. And I find it really interesting in Genesis chapter 1, where it says that God breathed into man the breath of life. And over in the New Testament, that Jesus breathed into the apostles the breath of life. Wow. The Word of God gives direction. We are made to have communion with God. But the Word says the only way that we can have communion with the God of the universe is spiritually. Amen? There is no other way. We can read all the self-help books and do all kinds of religious hocus-pocus and put up prayer flags and all that kind of stuff that intellectually and maybe even emotionally we think is connecting us with the God of the universe, but I'm telling you that the only way that God allows us to be connected with Him is through the Holy Spirit of God residing forever in our lives as He has come in and we have invited Him in and we are placed in Christ and Christ in us, according to John chapter 14 and 15. I am the vine, and you are the branches, and he that abides in me and I in him, he will be the one that bears much fruit. It doesn't happen apart from that. And I don't care what other religions might tell you. I don't care what other kinds of religious acts that you can go through. The only way, that which is spirit, that which is flesh. And that's it. Those of you here today that might say, well, I was baptized as a baby, or I've been a Christian all my life. I want you to really examine that thought. The Bible says that you must be born from above, born again. Amen? That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again. There is no other way. Because what it's doing is taking that spirit which we lost in the Garden of Eden and through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice, placing God's spirit back in us. Yeah, woo. I mean, that's a phenomenal thought pattern. It is a phenomenal reality. It's not Steve Hoekstra standing up here going, well, this is what I believe. I'm telling you, that's what the Scripture says. It's one of the greatest things about preaching the Word is that all you have to do is stand up here and read, comment just a little bit, and God does the work. Anybody can do it. God does the work. Let's look just a little bit at how that might play out. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus, and it says to hear God's word. Now it's interesting because in our minds, when we think about that people are pressing in to go to a meeting to hear God's word, we think immediately about this. Amen? They did not have this. They had no compilation, even of the Old Testament. They had the Pentateuch, which is the first five books, which would be read in the synagogue. They had some of the Psalms. They had Isaiah. They had a few of these, but not even every synagogue would have every book because everything had to be written down by hand, and that was the job of the scribes. So during that time, we had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. The scribes were the writers. The Sadducees were those that did not believe in the resurrection of life. And that's why they are called, it's so sad, you see. And those Pharisees were the ones that were very legalistic, wanted everybody to follow the rules, and they were the ones that were always saying, it's fair, you see. It's okay. Sometimes it plays well, sometimes it doesn't. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, by the way, is the first place in all of Scripture where this is called the Word of God, where it says, and the people came to hear the Word of God. That's first place. Luke records it right there. The Word of God. Then it became the norm. Now, the difficulty that we have in today's world, one of the difficulties, actually, I should go one of the difficulties, because if I go like this, then that makes it two, but I'm saying one of the difficulties that we have in today's life, and that is that people are afraid to be able to say, God can speak directly to me. We're a little bit afraid of that for a couple of different reasons, and I'm going to give you kind of an ecclesiastical reason. And that is that if you guys can read the Scriptures for yourself, and God can speak to you like He can me, then I might lose control of what's going on. And for centuries, people were kept illiterate, kept ignorant, and only the priest could intercede between God and man. Because as soon as you have access to God, I lose control. Let me use this word. I lose perceived control. Because it is not real control. I don't have control in the first place. As a person of God, who has control? God does. So it is important for us to recognize, yes, that God can speak to and through every one of us. If it is not that way, then that means the curtain has been mended and put back up. And it has not. It is so important for us to grasp that. Now, continuing that thought, though, because you will find people doing weird stuff and saying, well, God told me to do this. Amen? It's how cults get started. It's how weird stuff happens in churches. And that's why it is so, so important that every local body of Christ have and teach foundational Christianity. Because without the fundamentals of faith, It means that I can kind of go this way or I can go this way, and all I have to do is say, well, God spoke to me and told me this. And there's got to be some foundational teaching that, number one, keeps me from doing that, and number two, that you would be able to intercede in my life as my discipler, as my mentor, and be able to say, that really does not fit with all that we know of Scripture. But unless you can say that, the norm is for us to go, oh, okay. Because we're a little bit afraid to say, nah, I don't think so. Amen? Is it important to memorize Scripture? Yeah. Is it important to read the Word? Yes. Is it important to know the fundamentals of the Christian life so that God has something to begin with to work in your life? As much as we need to know our ABCs and our 1-2-3s, it is that important to know the fundamentals of our new spiritual life. But we've got to be taught those things, and not just taught the surface Sunday school stuff. But as we grow in Christ, we need to go deeper and deeper and deeper. You need to think deeper and deeper and deeper, and stop just spouting off some Sunday school answer and think through, is this reality? Or is it what the world is saying Christianity is all about? Am I just buying into something that the world is changing about Christianity? And folks, we don't want to fall into that trap. I got a little bit loud there. I'm sorry. But this really concerns me. Folks, I work with pastors that do not, I mean, guys that have seminary degrees that do not think deeply about the Word of God. And it scares me. I deal a lot with churches that when a pastor leaves, they don't have any bearing. Because they were never taught the fundamentals. They don't know how to function as a body. They don't know the reality of getting direction from God. They want somebody to give them direction. Pastor, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I hope you never say that to me, because you get the whole sermon. It is so important for us to understand who we are in Christ Jesus, in the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Listen, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. And by that man of God, he is not talking about the preacher. He is talking about the person of God. He's talking about you. And it's easy to say, well, that's for the preacher. And I'm telling you, it is not for the preacher. It is for you. There is gender equality right here. when they began to put together the Old Testament and the New Testament. By the way, the Old Testament really did not come into kind of its present shape until about 800 A.D. Isn't that incredible? In the New Testament, they had a thing called, and I'm not going to camp here a long time, but I want you to understand this. They had a thing that they made a judgment by called apostolic authority. Because there were a lot more writings than what we have in this compilation. So how do we make a judgment? Why did this get in and this didn't get in? And those people, there was about, I don't remember even how many, 100 and some odd, maybe even more than that, that began to compile this. They said, number one, it has to have apostolic authority. Do not confuse that with apostolic authorship. Only apostolic authority. It must be believed to be orthodox with current beliefs and teachings in the church, and it must have existed from the earliest days of the church when the apostles were still alive and writing. Though that was kind of the criteria. Along with the thought that it needed to point to the Messiah. It needed to lift up Jesus. I was talking with a man, the guy that trims my donkeys this last week. He's a neat Christian guy, and we were standing out there while he was working. I was harassing him. And we were talking about the Maccabees. That's an interbiblical book, or actually two or three books, written between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and included in some writings along there, which are called the Apocrypha. And his comment was, yeah, it's just mainly history. He said, I've read through the whole thing. It's mainly history. And that's true. It doesn't point to the Messiah, doesn't lift up Jesus. So why have it? And it is not included in what we look at today. Let me give you just a few thought patterns so that we don't get tripped up. Okay? Number one, memorize and read Scripture. Memorize and read Scripture over and over and over again. You come to a point and you go, oh, I've already read that. Read it again. Well, I've read it 100 times. Read it again. With God's Holy Spirit working in your life, you'll see something new. Second thing is know for you the footsteps of Jesus. Man, when it's quiet and you're reading the Scriptures, listen. Listen for Him to come and walk, because He wants to. Be diligent in prayer. Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Recognize that God will answer in at least one of three ways consistent with Scripture. And I want you to write these down. I want you to burn them in. Saw somebody taking a picture of these. This is so important, folks. God speaks consistently in these three ways. Number one, He speaks directly to us. Number two, he'll speak through his written, revealed word. And number three, he'll speak through a spiritual friend or leader. This is very consistent with Christianity over the ages and through the Word. You find a few places, like Balaam's donkey, where God just didn't have any choice. But consistently, those are the three ways that God speaks to man. Now, I want to go on and say this. For me, and for other church fathers, because this is not new with me. I read this and then I began practicing it, and it has been a blessing to me. If I sense that God is speaking to me in some way in my life, in one of these three ways, I ask God to confirm that in one of the other two ways without my digging for it. Okay? So if somebody comes up and says, Steve, I really think that you ought to do such and such. God has really gifted you in that direction, and I really think that maybe you ought to go in that direction, and we'd really like to blah, 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 blah. Then if it's somebody that I really respect, then I would say, God, I heard that. If it is a word from you, would you confirm it through either the reading of your word or in my prayer time? And I'm not going to go proof texting it. I'm not going to ask anybody to go, well, what do you think about? I want to hear a word from God. So I'm just encouraging you. Give it a try. See if it works for you. It really has for Jenny and I. That's a lot of the way that we make decisions. We were getting ready to move one time, sensing God's leadership, and I was in a conference in Texas. She was at home taking care of the kids, and when I got back, I said, man, let me tell you how God spoke to me. And she said, that's exactly what God spoke to me. Those are the kinds of things that we need. God desires to give direction to your life. God desires to be your pillar of cloud by day and your pillar of fire by night. God desires to be your Emmanuel. God desires to walk in the garden with you. God loves you and loves you a lot. And I'm encouraging you, listen for a word from God. Let's bow as we pray together. Father, we are thankful for your word. We are so thankful for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ and his sacrifice. God, that places us in such a position that we can be seated in Christ, that the Holy Spirit can take up residence in our life. God, let us not trust in the thoughts of mankind, in the religions that mankind. God, let us trust in your word. Let us know your footfalls. Open our hearts. Let us see you. And God, if there are those here today that this is all new to them, and Father, that they've been trying to live a Christian life rather than allowing you to be Lord of their life, I ask God that that would be taken care of today. God, that they would come either during the invitation time or afterwards and say to myself or one of the elders, I need to know Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can know Jesus. Speak to us, encourage us, convict us, and lead us from this place with your direction. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.